not entertain!
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
You're listening to the French Press Podcast, where we discuss events from our lives. Welcome to the French Press Podcast. This is episode 226.
And it's Tuesday, March 20th, 2018.
Jeffy's here as well. Jeff, how are you?
I'm doing quite well.
Today's episode is going to be a little bit different. It's going to be heavy on the feedback, light on the original content. However, Layton does have a story he wants to share. And of course, Jeffy is providing some content as well. He's got his own jingle he's going to share with us. And he told me, what were your words exactly, Jeff?
It is jingles gold.
Jingles gold. Jingle all the way. So we're going to start by sipping some fresh coffee as Jeff is going to pour it. And I think we'll, Layton, you tell your story as we're drinking the coffee, and then we'll give our thoughts on the coffee after your story.
Okay. My story begins at work, like most stories do. And I think it was on a Thursday, this past Thursday, there was a company text sent out. I should read it verbatim, just because I like saying that word, verbatim. And the text goes as such. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, due to the continued pressure we are receiving from many of our great customers, we are extending an opportunity for you to get your side hustle on and make some extra cash on the next five of the next six upcoming Saturdays. There's a sign-up sheet posted in Leon's office as of a few minutes ago, and you are welcome to add your name to the list if you would consider working on any or all of those Saturdays. Me.
Did you feel like Uncle Sam was pointing his finger at you?
Yeah, there was definitely somebody's finger was pointing at me. Turns out it was my own finger.
Oh.
No, I just felt like, well, I might as well at least work one Saturday. And since I don't have anything going this Saturday in particular, I was like, I'll get that Saturday out of the way. Because I always feel like if they open up Saturdays or express the need for working on Saturdays, I always feel like everyone should at least work one or two of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Take your turn working the Saturdays. Otherwise, if nobody signs up,
then it becomes mandatory.
Mandatory Saturday is a sad Saturday.
Yeah, that's a very sad Saturday.
I didn't want one of those, so I had a volunteer Saturday. VS, as it were.
Except you got paid for it, I hope.
Right. But volunteer Saturday is VS.
Yeah, I get it. Okay. I get it.
I wanted to make sure that the fans got it too.
They did.
Good. All right. So
it wasn't a bridge too far.
Good. So Saturday morning rolls around, and I roll around out of bed and hustle to the shop. And I put in 7 hours of work time, which was all that was required. At the end of that 7 hours, I was exhausted. But although my body was exhausted, my spirit was determined to make use of what was left of this Saturday. So me and my wife hop into my car after work, and we go flying up to South Bend. And I decided that I'm hungry for
Chipotle.
No. Although, that's what I should have done.
Ooh.
That's a good suggestion, Ruben. I wish that you would have suggested that earlier.
I just know that's one of the favorites of some of the guys at the shop.
That Chipotle is really good.
Chipotle is really
good. Chick-fil-A is really good, too.
Chick-fil-A is awesome.
Ugh. But alas, I decided I'm going to treat my wife to some good Thai food, Thai cuisine. So
Thai and not Indian, Thai.
Thai, correct. So
I'm trying to think of a pun, but I can't.
Jeff, you should have had your pun all tied up by now.
Jeff, didn't you have enough time?
Oh, that was bad. That was really bad.
That was pretty bad.
Oh, stop. Okay. So I go onto Google Maps and I look up Thai food, and a cool place called Noodle Alley comes up. And I decide, you know what? That seems fine. And it's kind of on the way to another store that I wanted to go to after we eat.
Mm-hmm.
So I head for Noodle Alley. We get there, and it's kind of a part of a strip mall.
It was not in an alley?
It was kind of like, there's like a strip mall area.
Was it by the Starbucks strip mall on Main Street?
No, it was by it was by Chuck E. Cheese, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, I know exactly where you're talking about.
Ugh.
Not good.
Well,
that strip mall, it used to be in its prime
that
back
strip
in
mall
the 90s.
Is definitely junky. Like,
yeah.
That whole strip looks like something like an outdated Las Vegas.
It was in its prime in the 90s and has never been updated since.
Nope. Including, so we get to this outdated strip mall and we walk up to Noodle Alley and it's closed.
Mm.
And apparently that was not a part.
Closed. The business is closed or today?
I think for the day.
Yeah.
I think. But I still kind of have a hankering for Asian food. And so right in the middle of that, the parking lot of the of that big strip mall is a Japanese place called, oh, what was it?
Didn't that
Hi Ho Chop Suey.
Oh, my. Didn't that used to be Ponderosa back
it
in the day?
It looked like some kind of maybe seafood restaurant. Because they had a lot of, like, shippy things. Like, I don't know, like braided ropes going from post to post as decorations. And it didn't look 100% Asian, and so it looked like they had like a ship theme. The original restaurant was built as a ship theme, and then they just hung some Japanese like art, and they literally replaced the outlet covers with like one of those Japanese palace looking things that are layered, the roofs,
the terraced roofs or whatever.
Yeah, like very Asian, obviously Asian-looking buildings. And then I noticed, like, in the booth that we were sitting at, I noticed that plate because, not because it was Asian-looking, but because they put it on upside down. Like, it is a fail. But anyways.
So obviously very low budget.
I'm always accused as the one who, like, cuts people off to keep things going. And we actually do have an important reason we need to, because I don't have my charger for my laptop.
Oh no.
So
and the laptop
let's keep on moving. Let's keep on moving. We've got time. We got plenty of time as long as we don't dilly dally.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm trying. So I order the shrimp chow mein.
But Ruben, this podcast is about dilly dallying.
This another name for this podcast could be Layton's Dilly Dallies. I think that's actually a pretty good name. LDL.
Ruben's just sitting there fuming.
No.
Anyways.
As we waste more time.
I ordered the shrimp chow mein. And it was something to behold. I normally
in a good way or a bad way?
I normally get chicken chow mein.
Yeah.
And that always has like the sauce. Like
yeah.
The clear, saucy mm-hmm. stuff. But this stuff was, like, really, really runny. And just, for some reason, seemed extra slimy.
Mm.
And, like, almost soupy.
Hmm.
What
about the flavor, though?
The flavor was, on 10 being, like, the most delicious thing I ever had, and 1 being, like, absolutely disgusting, I'd rate it a solid 4.5.
Okay. Ooh. And there is something to be said about a different, unexpected texture. I mean, you know how chow mein is supposed to be prepared, not supposed to feel in your mouth. and sit in your spoon.
Yeah.
And if it's vastly different, it just makes you unsettled.
Yeah.
Right.
Because
and
something could be wrong.
Some kind of like, it wasn't noodles. It was something that kind of was close to onions, but wasn't onions.
But not quite.
But still really slimy.
Probably and Brussels like, sprouts.
I don't know. It was stringy, though. Really stringy. I gobbled up mainly just because I was really hungry and exhausted. And I gobbled as much as I could. And then I realized that we needed to leave pronto because the store that I wanted to go to up in South Bend was going to close in like 15 minutes. So me and Carrie, we gobble, gobble, gobble. And then we actually got up before we were even given our bill. And we just like walked up to the counter.
To the front
and then
counter.
The lady who, our waitress, she saw that we were getting up and she was eating lunch. She was like seated in another part of the restaurant or like, kind of like talking with one of the other waitresses. So they were sitting down at a table and then she saw us get up and go up to the counter and then she like comes rushing over. She gets up from the table and rushes over. And she like, whatever, we pay our bill, walk out, it's whatever. And then hightail it over to Johnson's Workbench, which is a kind of like a woodworking specialty store. They have a lot of specialty woods, and it's really, really legit. Just saying.
So do they sell tools, or do they sell products that are made woodworking, like a chair or a table that's handcrafted?
No, they don't sell furniture.
Okay.
They sell tools. A lot of power tools. Yeah, a lot of power tools. And then they do have a couple of hand tools. But most of their hand tools, like their planes, I was going in there to see what kind of plane selection they had. And they only had like one hand plane.
Was it a Cessna?
No, but I don't know what that is.
Cessna. Airplane.
It was so lame it fell below your level.
It did.
Did you find anything? I mean, would you recommend people go there?
Well, if you're into woodworking, yeah.
So you, even though is that what you were looking? You were looking at their planes, and you weren't impressed with that. But there's other things there that are.
I did find one thing that I ended up buying.
Okay,
and it was a good sized. It was a 3-inch by 8-inch combination Japanese whetstone.
To sharpen things
for
on.
Sharpening. Now I already have an oil stone, but that's only a 2x6.
Yeah.
So it's much smaller. And plus the grits on that, that's also a combination. A combination stone means that it has two different grits on the bottom and top side.
This is a really dumb question, but not being able to recollect what your stone looked like, are these handmade or are they stones from the earth that are polished, obviously, and worked on, but...
I don't think they're handmade. I don't think you can hand make a stone. They might be treated in a certain way.
But they're probably like...
They're probably processed, but you're saying probably like, these like, are actually they're, stones.
They're, that... But they're ground to like a smooth, like a level finish.
Yeah, yes. They're ground into a block.
Okay.
Anyway, so the oil stone that I have originally that I first bought for sharpening was like... 320, a 320 grit and a 600 grit, which is like, yeah, nice, whatever.
I mean, as far as it being too fine?
No, I mean, it's barely fine enough.
Grit meaning grains per inch.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. And so this stone that I found at Johnson's Workbench was a 1,000 grit on the one side, and then a 6,000 grit
hold it
on wow. the other side.
So on the other, it's basically glass.
It actually like is. It almost feels like chalk.
They're really smooth.
Very smooth.
So you would use your one to like rough sharpen it, and then this one to finish it off, kind of.
Correct.
Yeah.
When you're sharpening, can you go forward and backward, or do you just sharpen it in one direction?
No, I go forward and backwards. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, I hate to cut you off.
No, I'm not done
but
yet.
But I'm
though.
About to.
Oh, shoot.
Okay, well, go ahead.
All right, but that night, after we get done at Johnson's workbench, I buy my Japanese stone, and I am so tired that Carrie has to drive home from South Bend, and I sleep probably a good half hour. And then once we get home, I sleep for another 3.5 hours. I wake
because
up.
Because it's still, I mean, it's early afternoon.
Yeah. We got home at around 4 o'clock.
Okay.
And then I still slept until 7:30.
Okay.
And then I wake up and I feel awful. Like, bleh. Like, hi-ho chop suey is not sitting well.
Do not go there.
At all. And then that night, I went over to a friend's house, and I was like, whatever. Saturday night, I mean. Went over to a friend's house, still not feeling too good. And then the next morning, I'm feeling terrible. I'm feeling dizzy. I'm like, ugh.
Did you, were you able to relieve yourself before the next morning?
You mean as far as like...
Your bowels?
I relieved myself first thing in the morning.
But you still felt dizzy, morning. Okay.
But it still felt awful.
Okay.
All that to say, don't eat at Hi-Ho Chop Suey.
Well,
I thought you were just going to say cheap Chinese, Japanese places in general.
Staying on the theme of restaurants and food, I was able to eat at CNC last week, and I was very impressed. And I know that one of the complaints was the flavor is kind of bland, it's not that great. And that's something that's pretty easy to fix. And I think they fixed it. Normally I add salt to my food, and I didn't even add any salt.
Wow.
And the helpings, it was more than what I even wanted to eat. Like, I got an omelet and with hash browns, and it was more than what I wanted to eat. And so I thought I was very impressed. I loved it. I thought it was great.
Well, good. Good, mate. Jeff, we should give them a second chance.
Well, we should. I definitely want to.
I really
want to
try the pork belly.
The pork belly hash?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll like it.
It was good, but the pork belly bits were just too small, in my opinion. But who knows? But speaking of breakfast restaurants, I had an opportunity to eat at Yolk in Chicago this past Friday.
You're yolking.
And let me just say, if you ever have a chance, that is just a phenomenal breakfast restaurant. That everything there is good. It's just really good. Their service is great. Their food is great. Their coffee is kind of yeah. But other than that, yeah, it was really good.
It is really good.
It's really good.
Okay, let's do the feedback and then we'll get to Jeff's jingles. We had a lot of feedback this
week. We did have a lot.
So we'll start with the email. And at any point, if you have some words of encouragement that you want to share with us, you can just email it to us, mail@frenchpresspodcast.com, or send us a message on Facebook, whatever form you prefer. This is from our good friend and coworker, Spencer. This is what he had to say.
I guess he's your coworker now, too.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Concerning Layton's situation that he shared last week about trying to make a mark on the wall when standing on top of his 4-foot ladder and both hands were being used to hold the tape, might I suggest, Layton, that while you're standing on top of your ladder, pencil in ear and both hands outstretched holding the tape, needing to make a mark on the wall, politely ask your wife to come over, will then from the floor take the pencil from your ear and make the mark on the wall, after which you will look straight over into her eyes, thank her, give her a kiss, and then come down from your ladder. So
he makes it sound like his wife is really tall.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, but it's unlikely you're holding the tape as high as you can on top of the 4-foot ladder.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
So thank you for that.
I will give credence to this because I know that if there's something that can't be done by anyone else at work, Spencer is the guy that can do it.
I've got something for him. I can't get the guys at the shop to take photos of themselves for a project that
I'm
working on.
There you go, Spencer. There's your next job.
Have you sent out a text?
I emailed them. But I'm taking care of it.
Who checks emails?
Well, it's a PWI email account, so hopefully they do. Anyway, moving on to more feedback. This is from Ken Miller. Just a couple of tidbits on hanging pictures. Most pictures can be held up with a pin. Put the pin in at an angle, and if the picture... and the picture against the wall and move it slightly, the picture hanger will leave a mark on the wall, and you'll know where to put the pin or nail.
That's a good idea.
That is.
This is assuming that your photo has one of those metal thingies on it.
Mm. All right, and here's our last, or at least the last piece of feedback I have. This is from Jessica, our friend. Just listen to your podcast. When we bought our Lincoln, we never got the keyless entry code from the guy. I finally Googled to see if it was located somewhere on the car. It was on a sticker just under the dash on the left side near the kick panel. Maybe yours would be somewhere around there too. You might need a flashlight to see it. Mine was up so high I could barely read it and had to stick my phone up there and take a picture blindly. And I've done that before where I've had to hold my phone, take a picture around a corner behind a desk or something.
Behind a TV.
Good luck. It's so nice to be able to use it. I wish our Yukon had a keyless entry because we keep losing our key fobs.
Uh-oh.
And she continues on.
Oh, my word.
I have a poll question for you.
Ooh, good. Finally.
Do you use nails or screws for lighter weight things you put on the wall?
Ooh.
Tony also likes to use screws for most things he hangs on the wall, even a small picture frame sometimes. I don't like screws because if I want to move anything, it's a much bigger hole I need to fill, and I have to go find the screw gun. So I hang as many things as possible in our house with nails, even some shelves.
Oh! Is this
the male objections?
And then she asks, "Is it a guy thing just to want to use the screw gun versus doing it more simply with a hammer and nail?"
There's probably some small amount of legitimacy there.
Okay, yeah. So maybe a guy does enjoy using his impact. Okay, maybe a guy does like to use his power tools and pre-drill holes, but you cannot deny that a screw is much, much stronger. Much stronger than a nail.
Well, and this is, I mean, the first suggestion was just to use a pin.
Yeah.
But I think that there is pros and cons. I mean, the pin will not even leave a noticeable mark. You can take it out, move it somewhere else, and unless you're close to the wall, you probably won't even notice it.
You should be
But it's definitely not as stable as a nail, and clearly not as sturdy as a screw.
I understand that it leaves a hole. A screw leaves a sizable hole. But you should also be able to repair drywall and prime it and repaint it.
Yeah.
You should be competent.
That is something that I absolutely hate doing.
I feel like after repainting...
Well, I should say just mudding drywall. Mudding and sanding drywall is the worst job ever.
I did it for like 6 years.
It's terrible.
Every summer.
It's terrible.
Jeff.
I got a job for you, Layton. don't you ever get a feeling of nostalgia? Thinking of the past and, oh, that was so much fun. Wistfully thinking about mudding walls. Well, Layton, I can help you relive that memory. You can come over to my house. And I will let you relive those memories of years past.
Reuben.
Summers past, when there wasn't a care, a thought. The only thought was for the weekend.
That's true. No, Reuben, I agree. But I have learned in life, in order to be content with where you're at, though you might feel like the past was a much, much better place, it's best to let go of the past and keep looking forward. So I don't need to relive my dreams. I'm living my dreams.
If they were dreams. Well, good feedback, good poll question. We can definitely use that. If you guys have more suggestions for poll questions, we will use them because we seem to have come to a dry spell in poll questions.
Yeah, are we going to have that as a poll question?
Do you think it's an okay alternative to just to have a poll question on Instagram? Mm. It's a lot easier to do that.
Oh, okay.
But try it.
Well, if it's easier, then I'm all for it.
I actually posted I posted a poll question on Instagram before you guys came. And I mean, you can probably guess what it was about because I was here and you guys weren't. But it was a question about time and how many people are typically on time.
Mm.
And 100% voted yes. How did I get stuck?
No.
Two people who cannot change on the time.
Definition. Depends on your definition of on time. What does on time mean?
No.
That's a better one.
What you should have done in that poll question of how many people are on time, you should have said, please reply to this poll by so-and-so o'clock.
But there's no way they might not see it until after that time.
Well, then they weren't on time.
Yeah, but they didn't even know the time that it was to be where.
Yeah, but you told them.
But they didn't even see it. They might not have had seen it.
They were still late. Doesn't change.
Jeff, do you have some music for us?
I have some feedback, actually. Oh, first.
Well, go ahead.
We have feedback all the way from Belize. My good friend Galen has, since he's been in Belize, really started listening to the podcast. And he commented on a couple of things. First off, back when I went to that restaurant in Chicago, and we were trying to discuss what a squab was.
Squab.
A squab, because I had squab there. And he said it's a baby pigeon.
Oh,
a pigeon that can't even fly yet, basically. So that explains why it was so tender. It was actually really good.
That explains why it was so tender.
Anyways, but his main point of concern with the podcast was the amount of volume that we put into eating and drinking on the podcast. And although he commented that although we may be doing it for sport, it does annoy/disgust some people.
Mm, that's so true.
So I don't know if we need to listen to that or not, but that's what he said.
Listen, feedback is a lot like voting. It's appreciated, but it doesn't really matter. Do you have a song for us, Jeff?
I do. So I think I remember when I first, well, let's step back a second. Welcome to Jeff's Jingles. Dun, 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 dun. I don't know. Anyways.
We should have a little intro music. Hey,
well, I did try to get that intro music the one time, and it turned into a jingle in itself.
I forget,
I'll
Jeff.
Have to revisit that one, too. Ugh. Okay, so the very first song, I'm pretty sure I remember saying that I don't think I'll ever find music this bizarre again. I'm happy to inform you that I have struck gold, and I have found music that is that bizarre.
How long will this be in case someone does want to skip forward? Are we looking at a minute, half a minute?
Well, this song is 31 minutes long.
Oh.
So I'll probably only play about 45 seconds, but from the minute and a half that I actually have listened to this song, it's pretty much all the same.
Okay.
So I haven't really noticed much difference. But a little bit of background on this. This is from an American band that started in 2003.
Oh, fairly recent.
It says here they're from Massachusetts.
Active?
Apparently, yeah, it doesn't have an ending date. So, yeah, the category is noise rock, experimental, abstract, instrumental. And the description is awkward kid-sounding vocals, chunky onslaught of spastic noises without much identifiable form. But the band is called Fat Worm of Error. I thought that was pretty genius of whoever it was.
Genius.
Probably somebody was.
Strong word.
I don't know what they were doing when they came up with this, but we'll just listen to a little bit of it to show you guys what it's like. Ruben, there is no music.
Is it playing?
It was playing. Hang on a second. Let me try something.
technical difficulties.
Technical difficulties.
It might be the mixer here.
Technically, it's a difficulty.
Let's try this again.
There we go.
Apparently, this is the point at which the song changed. I'll back up this a little bit.
This is half an hour long.
This is half an hour long.
Ugh.
Ugh.
Yeah, this is what I can handle, Jeff.
It sounds like somebody's going around on one of those sampler keyboards and just punching random keys.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, that's pretty much all that I heard. Ugh. I'm sure it changes somewhat later in the song, but yeah, if you want to give him a listen and see what it's like, if you can handle more than a minute and a half, then you did better than me. So,
Ruben, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Well, okay, wait. Before we do anything, you realize that we've had coffee.
You're right.
And we need to evaluate it.
We do need to evaluate it. It's getting cold. You may have a warm-up. There's still some left here.
Yeah. Hit me up, Jeff.
Oh. Oh, my goodness. They're having quite a difficulty.
This here. Is actually not quite as strong as I thought it would be, but it's
fill me
it's
up, good. Jeff.
It's very good.
It's good, but I don't like, and this is something with French presses, is that I taste the coffee dust in my coffee too often, and I do again today.
Well, this is the grind was not entirely consistent, so there was some really fine stuff mixed in with the coarser stuff.
Oh, and you know what?
So that explains
before
that.
Before we do this, there was one other piece of feedback I forgot to mention. My mother left a comment on our Facebook page. And she said, I was going to provide you with some mystery coffee for your next episode, but since I was so wrongfully treated with the phone being left behind at the church and her not leaving fast enough, she said I was not... Oh, basically, her feelings were hurt, and so she decided not to give us any coffee.
Oh, okay.
And my father mentioned that, Layton, as far as the tool set that you need, he said you also need a small level, which we did cover that.
Yeah, a torpedo. A little torpedo.
And a stud finder.
Ooh, stud finder.
I have yet to use a stud finder.
Is your method hitting the wall like so?
My method is you don't need a stud finder if you use a drywall anchor. Unless you're hanging something outrageously heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it has to be, what?
Like a bookshelf.
Like 60 pounds plus.
Like a big bookshelf or something, maybe.
Really, you would hang a normal shelf that would be holding a few books. You would still feel fine without using
a few books.
Stud.
Yeah.
Okay.
Speaking of stud finders,
I have one in my house, and it's not even in drywall; it's in plaster, and it's holding up like probably 2 8-foot 2x4s.
Hmm.
Of a decent size. Okay, go ahead. What, Jeff?
Well, I was going to say stud finders aren't always entirely accurate. Well, I mean, they will suggest that there's something there, even though it may not be a stud. But they just sense things behind the wall. So, for instance, when we talked about the reason that the sewage pipe runs right next to my wall in my office.
Mm-hmm.
When they tore out that wall, they discovered that there used to be like this big shelf thing mounted to that wall, and they discovered a screw in the plumbing pipe because somebody had used a stud finder and that pipe was close enough to the wall that it like sensed that there was something there, and they screwed right into it and just fortunately it didn't leak, but
fortunately
it was an interesting discovery.
Wow. I thought stud finders, somebody detected the nail, like metal, the nails that were in the stud.
No, it just sees that there's something behind the drywall.
Okay.
Yeah.
Somehow. I've heard that
stud finders are pretty unreliable. But
there's some really good ones out there.
Do you have to buy the expensive ones?
Yeah, the expensive ones are great.
Let's talk about the coffee.
Okay.
So again, I mean, I feel like there was a lot of coffee grinds that I'm drinking right now. Fine coffee dust.
I think that's just. It's partly because the coffee is a little bit finer in some. I mean, it has some fines in it, but that's kind of inherently the French press thing. Well,
I know.
I like this coffee.
I really like this coffee.
It's smooth.
Mm-hmm. It's not a super dark roast, but it's leaning towards a darker roast, which means it doesn't have much of that soury flavor to it that I do not like.
It doesn't have acid in it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just the day, but you're right. It doesn't have acid. It's not sour, but I just don't really like it that much.
Why?
I can't tell you why.
It's probably because it's lukewarm.
Because it's not bitter.
It has like a nutty flavor to it, kind of. Not like really strong, but it's kind of there.
Okay, I want you to guess where this coffee is from. Where are the beans from?
The beans. So it's a single origin?
Yeah.
I'm going to guess.
Yeah, sure.
Puerto Rico.
Okay.
I'm going to say it is... What's that that long one on the west side of South America?
Chile?
California.
Chile.
Okay. Both of you are wrong. I don't actually know what country it's from, but I know what region it's from. Because this is Arabic coffee.
Oh, Arabic.
So it could possibly be from Iran, Iraq, anywhere in the Middle East, I would guess.
Interesting.
And this is decaf coffee. And it says Swiss water processed. I don't know what that means.
Not sure what that means
either. Where did you get this coffee?
I got this coffee from my brother-in-law. He got this coffee at a
gun show?
It's a show, but I think it was for like furniture.
Mm-hmm.
Like a furniture show.
And they had coffee there. Interesting. Yeah. Kind of like IKEA.
Listen, I can't tell you why I don't like it. It's just, maybe it's just I'm not in the mood for coffee right now.
I like it, and it's called Brick House Coffee from Greenwood, Indiana.
All right, well, thank you, Andy, for the coffee.
It's not Andy. I have multiple brother-in-laws.
Oh, you're right.
You'll figure that out once you get married.
I didn't even think about that, Layden.
Yeah, Ruben, you better figure this out because you'll have the same brother-in-laws.
Yeah. Not all of them, but some of them.
Some of them.
All right, that's all we've got, right? I don't have anything else. You guys, my computer battery is getting lower and lower. So leave feedback if you want to. I'll do my best to read it without error next time. And hopefully soon, I need to talk to Mr. Dave. He needs to come back on the podcast again.
I agree.
And he did promise he would, but it won't be until after
Speaking
school.
Of which... Short piece of feedback. Haley Miller left some feedback with me. She told me, and I almost forgot, but that she just recently listened to the episode of Mr. Dave talking about the Japanese sending those balloons with bombs across the Pacific, and she said it was really interesting.
Oh,
so,
good.
If you guys haven't heard that episode, go back and find it. It's really good.
I'm telling you, if you're a new listener, go back and just look for Mr. Dave's episodes because they are good.
They're really good.
Those are our golden episodes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you guys for listening. Before we wrap it up, Layden, what is the point?
The point is you should say no to Hi Ho Chop Suey. The second point is Jeff likes a tender squab. The third point is Jeff has struck a golden note, and it was really disappointing. And the fourth point, and this recently has just occurred to me, that Ruben doesn't like French press, and he has a podcast
called The French
named
Press
after it. But anyways.
And what is our word of the week?
I think word of the week is hi-ho.
And tell you what, there will be a poll on our Instagram story.
Oh, fine.